Well, it's 2019, a new year, new beginnings. Aren't you glad the Lord gives us new beginnings? He designed it that way from creation. He gives us a new day every 24 hours. Sun comes up and we have a new start. New months, new years, and we are moving into 2019. And I enjoy what David said. Let 2019 be the best year of your life thus far. Well, why not? God's in control. It doesn't matter really what happens. He's working all things together for good. And I think his plans get better and better. So I'm looking forward to 2019. And let's believe the Lord for the best. Every year, we seek the Lord and ask him to give us a theme that we could focus on and allow to direct our attention and be with us throughout the year. And so we have come up with this theme, not just come up with. We really believe the Lord has given us this theme. They'll bring it up on the slide. You probably already realize what it is. Single focus. This one thing I do. Single focus. Taken from Philippians 3 and verse 13. It says that he is doing one thing. And I believe that that's what the Lord wants us to do this year. To bring our attention to one thing, to focus on some areas that maybe we had in our eyesight, but we didn't really focus on it. And I believe that the Lord's going to allow us throughout this year, as we talk about different topics, that we can focus in and say, what is it that the Lord wants me to do? What is the one thing he wants me to do as a result of what I'm feeling his direction is? Now, as you look, we have a new set here on the stage, and it goes with our theme. As we were building this, different people would come in, and I would say to them, what does that say to you? They didn't know what the theme was, and one person said, well, I think it looks sort of like a target, and someone else said, well, it sort of looks like it's converging to a tunnel. And I thought, well, it's getting the idea what we want to do. We want to focus. We do want to target one thing. We want to zero in on it. And we want to converge into a narrow aspect as we go forward. So let's launch right into this and see what the Lord has for us. You would have received a bulletin or a fill-in sheet for the message. I asked you to take it out. Follow along with us this morning. Now, here are our key verses for the year and for our theme. Philippians 3, and we're going to add verse 12, starting this off. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, I encourage you to memorize those verses. Over this coming week, read those verses over and over again. Commit them to memory so that you can meditate them as you're laying on your bed. Because this is the foundation, I believe, what the Lord is drawing us as a church to move into this coming year. So avail yourself. There's one thing you want to do, memorize these verses moving forward. Now, on your fill-in sheet, I summarized these verses as I was reading them over, what spoke to me out of these verses. And so follow along with me as we go this morning. Here's the first one. You are not perfect, and people will not treat you perfectly. You're not perfect. I know this is coming to a shock to some of you, but you are not perfect. Well, you know, we sort of know that, and I don't really know anyone that would say, you know, I'm perfect. No, we don't let that hinder us or limit us. But what we do many times is listen to that voice that says to us, oh, you really messed up there. Oh, that's too bad. You really, really erred there, and there's going to be all kinds of problems that come out of that. And, you know, God's disappointed with you, and, you know, you're not who you should be. And if you're a Christian, you wouldn't be doing that. And so we get distracted, because all of this, these verses that we're reading here, all these things are relating to our theme. So the first thing is, you're not perfect. So what you need to realize when that happens, let it kick in. Of course, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. It's just a given. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't mean that you don't work on the thing or you don't commit yourself to trying to do better. It's just that every time you do better and maybe you conquer that and you become an overcomer, but now something else comes on the horizon and you realize I messed up there and I need to do better here. It's like a car driving with the headlights into the dark. You see so far, but every turn of the wheel shows more light ahead, and you see more problems and more obstacles. Now, this is how it is in your spiritual walk. There is always a gap between where you are and where you know God wants you to be. Always that gap is there. Now, you're progressing. You are moving forward. But then it opens up new areas for you to move into. So don't be discouraged by your problems and by your failures. Now, I'm talking to somebody today because I get discouraged and I get down on myself and I realize, hey, you messed up there. And I know I'm not perfect, but it doesn't kick in that the verse says we're not perfect. Paul, the great apostle Paul, who wrote most of the scriptures in the Bible, said, I haven't made it. We quote Paul all the time. He said, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not there. We're not perfect. And so don't be discouraged or get thrown off track because of your failures. You are going to have failures. And it's normal that you will fail. We're not perfect. I put the verses on your sheet in the Phillips translation. And this is how it words it here. Yet, my brothers, I do not consider myself to have arrived spiritually, nor do I consider myself already perfect, but I keep going on, grasping ever more firmly that purpose for which Christ grasped me. My brothers, I do not consider myself to have fully grasped it even now. But I do concentrate on this. I leave the past behind, and with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal, my reward, the honor of being called by God in Christ Jesus. So, regardless of your mistakes, regardless of your failures, keep pressing on. Keep moving forward. When you fall, get up and go again. Some churches have a slogan, no perfect people allowed here. Well, they're pretty safe. Because there's no church. And if you're looking for a perfect church, don't join it. Because when you join it, you're going to make it imperfect. Because you're not perfect. And so, that's the first thing. Handle your faults. Now, here's the second part of that statement. And people will not treat you perfectly. Because they're not perfect. The people around you, the people sitting on the seat beside you, they're not perfect. And because they're not perfect, they're going to err. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to say things wrong. They're going to do things wrong. They're going to mistreat you. Now, don't let that throw you off. Many people are thrown off because of that. Oh, I shouldn't have. They're supposed to be Christians. I'm never going back to that church again. No, you need to realize we're all imperfect. And as a result of that, you're going to be hurt. You're going to be offended. You're going to be ignored. You're going to be overlooked. You're not going to always be treated the way that you should be treated. You need to see this. He starts his whole preface of pressing in and achieving what God wants by trying to remove these obstacles from us. First, that you're perfect, or that you should be treated perfectly. Now, this is really, really important, because it throws us off our spiritual journey. Now, it could be someone in the church, or it could be someone in your family, father, mother, brother, sister, your spouse. They're not treating you right. And as a result, you react. And no longer pressing into what God has for you, now you're affected by it. And this is where you got to let those things go. Here's what 1 Peter 4:12. I love this verse. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. This is not strange. This isn't unusual. The next time you feel offended or hurt and your feelings get hurt and you just, you know, you're resentful towards someone and you feel like, just realize, you know, this is not a strange thing. This is a normal thing. This is just life. Folks, it's just life. It's just living with imperfect people. So you need to change a mindset. You need to think differently about these things. If we're going to go on and be all that God wants us to be and reach the goal, you've got to get these distractions, because we want to be on target, but all these things are popping up. I'm failing. Oh, I'm not doing right. And the devil is an accuser of us. He'll tell you, or someone will do something towards you that hurts you and offends you. You've got to let those things, those distractions go and say, those things do not move me. I'm focusing in on something different. So let's go on to the next fill-in. God will grip your heart with his goal for your life. God will grip your heart. God has a plan and purpose for you. He didn't make you and then wonder, what will I do with that person? He designed you with the purpose for your life in mind. In fact, you are designed perfectly for God's plan for your life. That's why everyone is unique and everyone is perfectly designed. You don't have to wish you were like someone else, had the talent someone else have, because you're not called to their plan. You're called to your plan. Even your so-called imperfections in your life are perfect for you because it's to direct you in a certain way. And so don't beat yourself down or have a mindset, oh, if I was just more talented or if I had this or that or whatever, I would be able to do something for God, but oh, I'm not worth anything. You got to get that out of your head. And let God grip your heart with his goal for your life. Here's what it says in Philippians 3:12. In another version, I'm just reading these verses in different versions. I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. Have you ever felt the Lord grip your heart? I tell you, you've missed something till it does. God will grip your heart. He'll grip your life. Probably the first thing we've all experienced is when God gripped your heart with conviction. And you felt convicted of your sin. And it caused you to turn towards God. You saw how weak you are and how insufficient, and we cannot stand in God's light. It's like when Isaiah saw the Lord, his first words out of his mouth was, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That's how we all feel. We're gripped by conviction. I'm glad I have. And it's never left me. I'm not perfect. I sin. But every time I sin, I feel remorse. I feel sadness. I feel regret because something's gripped my heart. I cannot sin and be indifferent. Other people who don't know the Lord, they can sin, they can lie, they can do that, they can cheat, they can do, and it doesn't seem to bother them. But once God's gripped your heart, you can't be indifferent to it. We still have weaknesses. We still fall. We've already said we're imperfect, but we can't be indifferent to it. Our heart's been gripped. A second area that the Lord has gripped my heart in is that my heart, my life must count for the kingdom of God. I still remember where I was, a youth convention in Belleville, Ontario, when it gripped my heart, my life must count for the kingdom of God. And a dedication and a commitment to God, to his purposes, it's gripped me. I can't go to bed at night without thinking, how did my life benefit the kingdom of God? How did I extend his kingdom today? How did I do something that would benefit God? And when you get up in the morning, your thought is, yeah, I got all these things to do, but I want my life to count for the kingdom. That needs to grip you. He wants to reach out and grip you with the goal and purpose for your life, how you're made, what your purpose on earth is. He wants you to, and he'll give you specific goals. And it's revealed as you go forward and you walk with him. I remember when it gripped my heart to start this church. 45 years ago. And that grip is still there. It's never let me go. The welfare of the church, the building of the church. It doesn't matter how many hours you spend. It's indifferent. You're not working hours. You're working for his kingdom to build his church. And I tell you, a church can do anything when every member is gripped by building the church in what God has and the place you role you play. I don't mean just within the four walls of a church building, but you being the church. We're all members of God's church and we're spread out throughout society, 24/7. And we need to be gripped with, how do I build the church? How do I help someone today? How do I bring the knowledge of Christ to someone today? It needs to grip your heart. Now listen, don't let your heart be hard. Because God is reaching this morning, even through the words I'm saying, he's gripping your heart. Soften your heart. Say, Lord, I want to feel your grip. I want to feel your fingers digging into my heart. Lord, I give my heart to you. Those are words and prayers of surrender that allows him to grip your heart. Because you control it. It's your heart. That's why the Lord implores in his scripture, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. Give your heart to the Lord. Let him grip your heart. I tell you, there's nothing else like it. When Almighty God grips your heart with his purpose and how you are to fulfill your place in it. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Here's your next fill-in. A concerted effort is required to reach your goal. A concerted effort is required. You can't be passive. This doesn't happen automatically. You have to put an effort forward. Here's another version of this same verse. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Because he's gripped me, I reach out to grip it, to fulfill it, to give myself to it. You need a diligence. There's a commitment. That's why we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Christians are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account of what works we have done. Not for salvation, but for reward. To say, have you fulfilled the plan and purpose that I gave you? We have the story in the Bible about the different people receiving the mina, the talents. One received five, one received two, one received one, and one doubled, and the second one doubled, but the other one just kept the talent, and he hid it, and was reprimanded by the Lord. We are to put an effort forward. There's a work for us to do. We must be about our Father's business. Now, this is something you don't do indifferently. It grips your heart, but then you respond to it. And you set your mind towards these things. And you pray into it. And you take steps towards it. All of this is moving forward in the things of the Lord. Listen, if you're going to walk with God, you can't stay where you are. We want to stay where we are and relax and say, yes, I want to walk with God, but the Lord's up and he's moving. And he says, come, walk with me. We're to walk in the Spirit. You got to be responsive. You got to exercise some effort towards this. It's not your effort alone. It's all empowered by the Lord. The gifts that we have are to be empowered by His Spirit. Self-effort alone will not benefit. And you'll struggle. But when you put your efforts align with the Lord and walking with Him, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And you start accomplishing the things that God wants to accomplish. And you actually feel good about it. You feel satisfied. And you get compliments. Well, that was really good. And you can receive it graciously, a compliment. But inside you realize, but that was the Lord. That was His empowering. I was just moving in the gift that God has given me. And He's given us all gifts. And so you can move into it. Here's your next feeling. You must narrow your focus to do one thing. You must narrow your focus to do one thing. Here's how it words it in Philippians 1:13. I do not count myself to have apprehended or laid hold of it, but one thing I do. Now here's where we many times fall short. We don't focus enough. And that's our theme. Coming to a single focus. Focusing on what God is focusing on. Letting your heart burn with what burns in God's heart. To be excited about what God is excited about. To find enjoyment in the things that pleasure the Lord. And there's a focusing. There's a bringing all your talents and ability towards one end. It's our theme, single focus. Now, I tell you, focus is a tremendous thing. A laser beam is focused. I was looking this up this week. A laser beam is a column of very high intensity light of a single wavelength. And it's brought by focusing the large beam down to a single pinpoint, the heat intensity at that spot is extreme. Now, we're in this room, and there's light in this room. But it's diffused light. It's bouncing off of everything. And so you don't feel any effects of it. It's here. We can see as a result of it. But we're not accomplishing anything by it. But a laser beam will cut steel. In fact, as I was reading this week, it said that the major way that metals are cut today is with laser beams. And that there is an intensity that it will cut through materials. If you took all the light that's in this room and you brought it and narrowed it down more and more into one single and come out a nozzle, it can be so strong that it can cut through steel. Well, we've all sort of experienced this as kids with the magnifying glass and going outside with it. You can start a paper on fire with a magnifying glass and other things, and I won't imagine what you may have sizzled as a kid with a magnifying glass. But you see what we're talking about here. That's what our life is like. You have all kinds of talents and abilities and time and creativity and potential. And what many times we're too diffused. We're doing a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there. We're over here, we're there, we're there, everywhere. And we don't seem to accomplish much. And we write ourselves off. Well, I'm not very talented. If I was like that person, yeah, I could do something. Don't sell yourself short. You are created by God. You are a marvelous creation, wonderfully made. And you're made for a purpose. And when God grips your heart with that purpose, and now you put effort forward to bring it to one point, it is amazing what you can do, what you can accomplish, what God can do through you. But I really think we are the ones to bring it into focus. He works with us. He gives us abilities and talents, and he guides and directs us and will grip our heart. Now we need to respond. And as it says in these verses, I reach forward and strain to lay hold of the thing that is already laid hold of me. God will grip you in your heart with something. He'll give you a thought, an idea, a purpose, a plan, something, and you feel it. And now you've got to put effort forward to grip it and do it with full intensity. Do it with a single focus. And you'll be amazed what God will do with your life. Wow, how powerful you are. Your time, your gifts, your talents, your abilities from God. Wow. Just for a moment, I'm thinking, what would God do if all of us as members of this church were focused on him? What could happen? What could we do? Well, we'll do what the early church did. They turned the world upside down. They saw so many things happen because they were a single mind and single heart. Here's your next fill-in. Forget the past. Now, right in the context of all this, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You have to forget your past. You have to let your past failures go. Your disappointments go. What other people have done towards you, you have to let it go. You are not meant to bring your past into your future. It will cripple you. It will distract you. When you should be moving forward, you're concerned about, well, I already messed up there. I tried that before. That's not going to work now. I could never do that. Listen, what you couldn't do yesterday, you can do today. We see it with our children as they grow. There are things they couldn't do yesterday, but now they can do it today if they'll keep putting forth the effort. And so it is with us. Don't allow your past failures or inabilities or what someone has said about you or done towards you or didn't give you the opportunity you thought you should have. You're focused on it and it's crippling you. You've got to let those things go. You know why you can let them go? Because God works all things together for good. We had a men's breakfast and I was actually walking out to the parking lot and was talking to a gentleman who was at the men's breakfast and along these lines. And I said to him, you know, there's Christians are the only ones that can really do this. I said, because we have a reason to let things go. We have the ability to believe all things work together for good because it doesn't just happen by chance. No, there is a God who's working it for good. And if I will commit myself to him, and see, it says if we love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you love God, you committed your heart to God, and you want his call done in your life, he says, I'll work all those things in the past together for good. So why bemoan them? Why go over it? Why bring it up in your mind over and over again? Why complain about it to others? Why pollute your thinking with the past? You are never meant to bring the past into the future. And we do it all the time. We know we're not supposed to, but we do it all the time. What are you complaining about from the past? Let the past go. When you start telling someone what else someone else did toward you, why are you doing that? That's the past. If it was a hurtful thing, why in the world would you bring it up again, over and over again, and self-inflict it upon yourself? And people do it all the time. It's not the initial hurt. You've rehearsed it so many times, thought about it so many times, you've just deepened the wound. Emotionally, you are more and more wounded. And every time you rehearse it emotionally, this is the difference between a physical hurt and an emotional hurt. When you remember a physical hurt, you don't hurt yourself physically again. You remember emotional hurt and you're wounding yourself all over again. That's just the way we're made. So we're to live it day by day, one day at a time. The Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow or yesterday. Just live today. Now, am I helping you? You need, because I say, how many have heard this before? Like, this is really not new. Put your hand up. We all have heard this before. We really have. But are you doing something about it? This one thing I do, forgetting the past. You actually have to do this. Bring your mind, your thoughts into captivity and don't focus on a past hurt. Let it go. God is in control. God will weigh everything. He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You don't have to get even. You don't have to bring light so everyone sees this. There's a day coming when everyone's going to be know as we are known. There's a day of judgment. It's all going to come into the light. You don't have to deal with this. Jesus could have been crippled because people criticized him. They mocked him. They said bad things about him. They lied about him. They besmirched his reputation, but he never let those things move him. He kept moving into the future. He knew his calling. He let those things go. When they were accusing him, he didn't even open his mouth in his trial. He didn't have to deal with it. He knew what was before him. God will take care of all those other things. Folks, I'm trying to help us today. One thing you must do, you got to forget the past. Let it go. And here's the next thing. Focus on the future. Focus on the future. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So again, don't take the nevers from the past into your future. You know, we've all heard the saying about the straw that broke the camel's back. You put the final straw in the camel's back and it breaks. Was it the straw that broke it? No, it was the accumulation of everything else. The camel had taken this on and this weight on and this weight on until finally he's so loaded down, can hardly move, and then you just put a straw, it breaks his back. What has broken you? It's not the little thing that you're going through. It's the accumulation. It's how you perceive it in your mind. It's how you interpret it. You've got to let it go. Move into the future with a clear path, with a lightness of soul. I belong to God. This is a new day he's given me. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, this is your purpose for me. Doesn't matter all the problems of the past. Doesn't matter what people have done. I got a fresh new day, and I'm moving into it. So the person that lied or spoke about you yesterday, you greet them today. And legitimately from your heart, you have no ill will towards them. You're praying for them. You're blessing them. You're doing good to them. You can love your enemy. All the things that Jesus said, because you've let it go. But folks, we really don't want to let anything go. It'll go over and over in our mind. We pack it away in the little sack on my back. And then we wonder why we can't move and we're sluggish. And and we're not free, and we're not light in soul, and we're feeling down, and we're discouraged because of all the past, that God says, don't carry that. You just move into the future. Just be what God wants you to be. Here's your next fill-in. This year, our first focus is on the spiritual. Now, we're starting this year, and we want to have a single focus. So the first thing we need to do is get our eyes on the spiritual. Here's what it says in Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is like life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We have been born again. We've been born again spiritually. We are spiritually alive. We have a natural life, but we have a spiritual life. There's two realms that we live in. There's a natural realm, a fleshly realm, a carnal realm that we live in. But there's a spiritual realm. Things that the eyes don't see. God is in the spiritual realm. Now, where is your strength going to come from? It says, those who set their mind on things which are above, on the things of the Spirit. You have to allow your life to be directed by things you don't see. If you only go by what you see, you're going to be discouraged. But if you have faith in God, believe that He can do things. As you have faith in God, now you move into a spiritual realm. But we have to get our eyes off of the natural. See, in the natural, I'm just seeing, I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to pay the bills. I got to go pick up the dry cleaning. And I got to run so-and-so to their classes. And my kids have to go here. And I got to get that project done at work. And, I really want to buy that because I really enjoy that hobby. And I want to do that. And I got to spend some time there. And we're doing all these things. And we can live just in the natural realm. Or you can see something beyond the natural. God has a plan and purpose. God has a purpose for my life in this world, a spiritual realm. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Herod didn't have to be afraid of Jesus. He wasn't after his natural throne. He was after the throne of his heart. And God's after our heart. He wants to grip your heart with His spiritual purposes, to see people saved, that God is glorified, that evil is put down, and that which is hurtful will be destroyed. He wants to destroy the works of the devil. He wants glory to be brought to God. He wants His love and His character be shown to people. Now, those are spiritual things, and you've got to see those things. So if you're going to, at the beginning of this year, if we're going to move into what God has for us, we got to see the spiritual. Jesus said you need to have spiritual eyes, you need to have spiritual ears, because my natural eyes will just see natural things. But I need to have spiritual eyes. I need to hear God's voice. I need to feel Him grip my heart. Spiritual feelings, spiritual sensations. And I need to respond to those, to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. Now, don't misunderstand me. We will still go to work and we'll still pick up the laundry and the dry cleaning, and we'll still take our kids to, and we can still watch a hockey game and we can have hobbies. There's nothing wrong with those things. See, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're in this world doing all those things with a spiritual mission in mind. How am I being in Christ's presence to my work, to my school, to these people I'm meeting? You realize God's plan is for people. How am I helping this person? How am I loving this person? How am I adding value to their life? This is the spiritual dimension. And when you get excited about that, and that becomes your focus, then you're going to be in this world, but you're going to be doing God's work in the world. And this is what he desires for all of us. Let's look, fill your last fill in. Fasting separates you from the natural. Prayer connects you to the spiritual. Now, we're starting this year with prayer and fasting. Now, this is strategic. You need to have a spiritual vision. If we're going to walk with God, you have to sense his spirit and where he's directing you. Our default position is always to the natural, because that's our five senses. And you'll always be pulled into the natural. You have to do something to connect with the spiritual. Now, here's where prayer and fasting come together. Fasting, somehow limiting and restricting the most and strongest need we have in the physical is food. That's the strongest drive we have is food. And when you restrict that for a spiritual purpose, something breaks. Fasting breaks things in your life. It quickens your spiritual senses. It sharpens your spiritual senses. Somehow the very act of fasting separates you from the world. It separates you from the natural. And then when you add prayer, which is our connection with God and the supernatural and the spiritual, that's where we're really going to see breakthrough. Prayer and fasting are tremendous tools for you to be all that God wants you to be. Listen to these verses here, the last ones on your sheet, Matthew 17, 19. The disciples had tried to cast the demon out of this individual. They couldn't do it. Jesus came along and cast the demon out. Verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So we need our faith increased. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It can be the natural word, but also hearing God's spiritual word spoken to us. His voice guiding and directing us and guiding us. You need to hear that voice. It'll bring faith. When God speaks to you and then you respond to what he says, there's faith in your heart to believe. And the scripture says here, it doesn't have to be a whole lot of this. Just like a little seed, little mustard seed. You could speak to this mountain and be removed. What are the mountains in your life? What are the things that you're believing God for? That's why I'm saying we need to enter into this week of prayer and fasting with a new intensity. Saying, "Lord, I want to be separated from the natural. I want to zero in on your purposes. I want you to grip my heart during this time." I really believe God will grip your heart during this week of prayer and fasting. If you'll give your heart to God, yield your heart to God, he'll grip it. And as you pray and fast, there'll be a renewal, be a resetting of your life. You'll seek those things which are above, not things which are of the earth. And you're going to see God use you in marvelous ways. I'm looking forward to this year. I'm looking forward to this week. Because in the natural, I can say, "Oh, week, I can't eat." And I have to admit to you, I feel that sometimes when I'm even, you know, feeling we should pray and fast. Part of me says, "Oh, I don't want to do that." The flesh doesn't want to do that. But I want my spiritual hunger to be stronger. I'm excited about the spiritual benefit I'm going to receive. And so I'm excited about it. My spirit's excited about it. I'm laying aside this to lay hold of this. And I pray that that'll be your heart. Shall we stand together right now as we dismiss this morning? I encourage you to ask the Lord, how do you want me to fast during this week? He will grip your heart with something. He'll lay something in your heart. And I encourage you, just whatever it is. It doesn't have to be, I don't eat anything. Some of us, he may say that to. Others, he'll prompt you. And he knows our heart, he knows where we're at, and he'll just prompt you wherever you are. And all you have to do is just follow that leading. And then pray and seek him. Get up in the morning and ask the Lord what he wants. And we're gonna see a renewal and a revival in our own personal lives and in the life of this church. Would you bow with me in prayer? Let me pray for us. Lord, your word is so true. And we receive your word this morning. Lord, we want to follow the admonitions of these verses. We realize we're not perfect. And we're in an imperfect world. But Lord, you have given us gifts and abilities, and you're calling us to something. Grip our hearts, Lord, afresh and anew. Grip our hearts. And Lord, help us to forget our past and all those things that distract us. And help us to move into this new week with a freshness and a vitality and an expectancy that's not hindered at all by the past. And help faith to grow in our hearts. And may we see things, and may we experience your power in our life. Bless this people. Bless this week as we enter in. And may we all, Lord, come to that single focus of wanting your will done in our life. And may we do the things you want us to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll go in the name of the Lord. Amen.